It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delphiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Back in business. Good Friday afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. It is opening day today in Georgia, where gyms, hair salons, bowling alleys, and even tattoo parlors are re-emerging from the shadow of coronavirus.
We need to get back to work. The employees are dying to come back to, you know, the regular job.
Dine-in restaurants and movie theaters open up on Monday in the Peach State. This Atlanta doctor thinks that's way too soon.
I'm angry, not just for myself, but for my family. I'm angry for my patients, and I'm angry for our state.
President Trump says Georgia is jumping the gun.
I want people to be safe, and I don't want this thing to flare up because you're deciding to do something that is not in the guidelines.
Federal social distancing guidelines continue officially through next week. Vice President Pence talks about when we might be able to open up in a bigger way.
If we continue these mitigation efforts in the days ahead, as states implement their policies, including phased reopening that will preserve those gains, we do believe by early summer we could be in a much better place as a nation with much of this coronavirus epidemic behind us.
That's the vice president at the White House last night. Next door to us, Ohio, it begins unlocking some of its businesses next week. A new $500 billion coronavirus relief bill is on President Trump's desk. He will sign it today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Very pleased with the vote. 388. To five.
That spending bill provides a lifeline to small businesses and rural hospitals. Congress also forming a special committee to oversee Uncle Sam's coronavirus response. Maryland Democrat Steny Hoyer.
Is it too much to ask that we would have a special committee to make sure that the money that we are appropriating in historic amounts is spent correctly?
That committee will consist of 7 Democrats and 5 Republicans, and they will all have subpoena power. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan thinks it's unnecessary.
8 different entities doing oversight, but the Democrats want a 9th. Why? This is just a continuation of the attack that the Democrats have had on the president for the past 4 years.
Congress hopes to pass yet another massive aid package in the not-too-distant future. So far, $2.9 trillion has gone to propping up the economy during the pandemic. Coronavirus has cost 1 out of every 6 Americans their job. Researchers now believe hidden outbreaks of this virus were making their way through big U.S. cities as early as January. Correspondent Mola Lange explains.
Preliminary results from antibody tests indicate 14% of people showed evidence of past infection, a projection that some 2.7 million New Yorkers may have had the virus.
That's 14% of the state's overall population. Governor Cuomo says 3,000 people were tested outside grocery stores the past week.
We have undertaken the largest, most comprehensive study of New York State to find out what is the infection rate.
Test samples were collected in 19 counties. The infection rate in Manhattan was 21%. In upstate New York, just 3.5% of the population has had or currently has coronavirus. Well, experts say sunlight might actually help in the fight against COVID-19.
Our most striking observation to date is the powerful effect that solar light appears to have on killing the virus.
That's Bill Bryan. He heads the Science and Technology Division at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Bryan talked to reporters at the White House yesterday.
The virus dies the quickest in the presence of direct sunlight under these conditions. And when you look at that chart, look at the aerosol as you breathe it. You put it in a room, 70 to 75 degrees, 20% humidity, low humidity. The half-life is about an hour. But you get outside and it cuts down to 1.5 minutes.
Bryan adds that heat alone will not kill coronavirus, and people should continue to adhere to social distancing guidelines. Well, the maker of Lysol issuing a warning today, urging people not to ingest cleaning products after the president insinuated that disinfectants might work at combating COVID-19.
After a Homeland Security official mentioned the ability of disinfectants like bleach to kill the coronavirus on surfaces, President Trump remarked on the effectiveness.
And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or
almost a cleaning.
Doctors warn that disinfectants like bleach are poisonous and dangerous when mishandled, and the notion of injecting or ingesting any type of cleansing product into the body is irresponsible.
Mike Bauer reporting from Washington. Still to come on the Noon Report, for a Friday, New York nursing homes, Pennsylvania revising its death toll, and parking lot church in Chemung County.
Well, good afternoon. The weekend is almost upon us, and Saturday looks like the pick day of the weekend for being out and about in much of the area. I'll be back with forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, we will see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Check in the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. New York's nursing homes have become a terrifying place to be during this current global pandemic. And now Governor Cuomo's ordered his attorney general and state health officials to conduct routine inspections of these facilities. Healthcare consultant John Bartimol talks about why nursing homes have become breeding grounds for COVID-19.
The incubation period on COVID-19 is from 2 to 14 days. So it's almost impossible to keep people who live in that close of a proximity away from anyone who had it and didn't know it at the time. It's a very, very tough task that these healthcare workers are facing. But I think it's a good idea for the governor to call for this investigation so that the nursing homes can tighten up and protect those who are living there.
Only a third of the 15,000 nursing homes in this country have access to tests that can help isolate the sick and stop the spread of the disease. Governor Cuomo's compared COVID-19 in nursing homes as, quote, fire spreading through dry grass. Chemung County, New York Executive Chris Moss has had a change of heart when it comes to parking lot church services. This comes a day after a Texas-based legal firm representing three Chemung County churches sent the executive a letter. They argue the county's stay-at-home policy violates the Constitution. Moss says parking lot church services will be allowed as long as they comply with social distancing guidelines.
This morning I was able to have a Zoom conference call with many of them, and they came up with ideas for me to see what do I think of, could they have the parking lot services if they employed the following. I thought they were great ideas, and we hope to get them back to their parking lots by Sunday.
Mike Spencer's pastor of the His Tabernacle Family Church in Horseheads and says parking lot church services are vital because they allow face-to-face contact among parishioners, even while abiding by those social distancing guidelines. The Pennsylvania Health Department has slashed the state's COVID-19 death tally by over 200. The Commonwealth's top doc, Rachel Levine.
These cases were previously reported as probable, but further review has determined that we needed more information before we could attribute them to a death related to COVID-19.
A number of local coroners are taking issue with how Pennsylvania reports fatalities related to this pandemic. We'll get ready for a new normal. Family Life's Bill Price tells us while some counties across the listening area are getting ready to reopen, it will not be business as usual.
Local officials say things won't be like they used to be.
You know the threat. This threat has been with us. This threat is a killer. You know somebody that this has impacted.
That's Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon. He says as businesses start to reopen, social distancing will still be in place. John Becker is chairman of the Madison County Board of Supervisors. He says get ready for the new normal.
You can't go and be hugging your neighbors and all that kind of thing. Got to keep your distance and just be aware and use common sense.
Local leaders say social distancing is working, and in order for businesses to reopen, they got to stick with the rules. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Penn State making pay cuts due to the pandemic. Employees at university hotels, conference centers, even events at the Bryce Jordan Center. Those workers will have their salaries cut in half beginning May 4th. That will continue at least through the end of June. Local governments crying foul over the COVID-19 stimulus bill that passed the House and has now been signed by the president. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz says there's no federal funds for him.
I'm very disappointed. We're going to have to decimate services.
Poloncarz says the COVID-19 crisis will cost his county $100 million. Amherst Town Supervisor Brian Culpa.
Well, we're being asked to do at the local level, but to just be watching revenue pass.
The relief package passed by the Congress aimed at propping up small businesses and rural hospitals. The president hopes to get another spending bill passed that will benefit local governments. Central New York Hospital. hospitals have furloughed more than 1,600 workers as business plummets during the pandemic.
Yeah, health industry experts say the number of furloughs continues to grow because inpatient volume has dropped 50% since the state ordered hospitals last month to cancel all elective surgeries. Upstate hospitals have not been flooded with coronavirus patients like hospitals in the New York City area. Now, many downstate hospitals are scrambling to find more workers, while upstate hospitals are idling employees. The federal government sent out $30 billion last week to help bail out hospitals and plans to give them another $70 billion, but has not determined how that money will be distributed. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
More upstate hospitals in New York have announced they will resume elective surgeries and treatments. The latest is St. James in Hornell. Starting next week, it will schedule elective procedures and appointments, including colonoscopies and physical therapy. St. James Hospital says it will also be increasing ambulatory service beginning next week there in Hornell, New York. New York City considering closing streets to vehicles to allow for more pedestrian pathways. Scott Pringle explains.
Advocates say this is going to give residents more space to do social distancing and more options for exercise. With fewer vehicles on the road during the pandemic, the legislation calling for the opening of 75 miles of city streets to pedestrians and cyclists while the social distancing requirements remain in place. Now, Mayor de Blasio, he's against this plan, saying he has concerns about enforcement and safety, but the measure does have widespread support in the city council. Scott Pringle, New York.
The great New York State Fair is still a go in Syracuse despite the global emergency. Organizers say they will follow all relevant social distancing guidelines and will adjust as necessary as the fair date approaches. That now 18-day event typically draws more than 1 million people to central New York at the end of summer. Well, last night was draft night in the NFL. Sports next. We call it the two-minute drill. Here's Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Bob. No big surprise. The Cincinnati Bengals selecting the Heisman Trophy winner first overall in the first ever virtual draft. Commissioner Roger Goodell.
With the first pick in the 2020 draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
The Washington Redskins then took Ohio State defensive end Chase Young second. The Detroit Lions selected Ohio State cornerback Jeff Okuda third overall. That's three former Ohio State teammates chosen as the top three. Then the New York Football Giants selected some offensive line protection.
With the fourth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Andrew Thomas, tackle, Georgia.
The Miami Dolphins rounded out the top five by taking,
with the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
And then Tua Tagovailoa giving praise.
Before I say anything, I just like to give all glory to God for all of this. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, this has been a dream growing up, my entire life, working hard.
Amen. Jedrick Wills protected Tua Tagovailoa's blindsided Alabama. He's now got Baker Mayfield's back. The Cleveland Browns chose the left tackle with the 10th pick. The Jets also opted for some offensive line help by selecting Louisville tackle Mekhi Becton with the 11th pick. The Eagles adding another weapon for Carson Wentz, drafting wide receiver Jalen Reagor with the 21st pick overall in the first round. The Bills and Steelers traded away their first round picks. They'll join the draft tonight as second round action gets underway. The Giants have the 4th pick in the second round. The Browns have the 9th pick. The Jets currently have the 16th pick, followed by the Steelers picking 17th. The Eagles pick 21st, and the Bills have the 22nd pick in the second round of the NFL draft tonight. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much. Coming up, we're going to take a closer look at reopening strategies in New York and Pennsylvania. Kevin Williams going to take a closer look at that weekend forecast. And at the end of the broadcast, traffic jam at McDonald's.
A story out of Illinois demonstrates again that God is always at work, often behind the scenes, and even when we have no idea what he's up to. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Recently, a young woman walked into the Waterleaf Pregnancy Care Center in Aurora, Illinois. She thought she'd entered the Planned Parenthood clinic across the street. She asked for an abortion pill, but what she got instead was love and concern. Believing, as a Waterleaf staffer would later describe, that mistaking the Pregnancy Resource Center for Planned Parenthood was a sign,
she stayed for an appointment and is now rethinking her decision around the pregnancy. One of the best parts of this story is that God has been orchestrating the details of it for well over 3 years now. Not that long ago, the lot upon which the Waterleaf Center now sits was empty. Catty-cornered from one of the largest Planned Parenthood clinics in the Midwest, the lot had been used for years by pro-life Christians, where they'd pray, protest, and reach out to women seeking abortions across the street. The property was acquired by a friend of mine in the Colson Center. In fact, he didn't even know much about the property until a Democratic lawmaker contacted him as the new owner and asked him to put an end to all the pro-life prayer stuff that was happening on it. Well, our friend not only declined the lawmaker's request, he decided to actually see if there was even a better use of the property for the cause of life. At the same time, God was moving the leadership of the Waterleaf Women's Center to expand their outreach and ministry, well, because their lease on their current property was expiring. Now, there's more details of how God was moving and working during this whole thing, but let me just save some time and say that the result is a brand new, expanded, and aesthetically beautiful and intentional building that by architectural design communicates light, life, and hope to men and women facing unexpected pregnancies. And it sits on a lot that's catty-cornered from what's often called the Super Walmart of Planned Parenthoods, at least in the Midwest, which is an ugly, fortress-type building with hardly any windows that is aesthetically appropriate, by the way, for what happens behind its doors. But there's more. Waterleaf's beautiful new facility came online just before the COVID-19 crisis. Earlier this week, Planned Parenthood announced its plans to consolidate 17 centers in Illinois down to 6, which means that this Aurora facility is even seeing additional traffic and extended hours in the attempt to expand their deadly services of chemical and surgical abortions. And Waterleaf has responded to that announcement, thanks to the generosity of its supporters and the grace of God, by increasing its clinic hours and outreach efforts in order to, as they put it, stand strong to preserve the life of the unborn. Even when we can't clearly see what God's ultimately doing, He is choreographing even our smallest acts of obedience into something glorious. You see, this is a story that involves multiple people and multiple parties. A property being sold and acquired, years of faithfully showing up outside an abortion clinic to pray and protest, a board being prompted to extend their work, choosing between architectural firms, building a new facility. So many leaps of faith here. So many small acts of obedience. And the whole time, God was orchestrating and preparing His people for a very strategic moment when Planned Parenthood would double down its assault on women and their unborn children in this city of Aurora. The lessons for anyone who wants to find and follow God's will is pretty clear. You see, God's will isn't so much about what He wants to do through us someday. It's about what God wants us to do next. We do our best. The results are up to God. And let's pray for all the pregnancy resource centers out there at this time. And who knows, maybe God is orchestrating a similar story in your town. And maybe it involves you. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Let's take it outside. Weekend weather with Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. This afternoon, any rain across central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania coming to an end. But it stays cloudy most of the day, but with breaks of sunshine developing western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. High temperatures, 40s and low 50s. Tonight becoming partly cloudy. Fog will form for some, especially where it has rained today. The low temps, 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, plenty of sunshine in central New York. Otherwise, for tomorrow, partly sunny western New York and eastern Pennsylvania. And in western Pennsylvania, sun, then clouds and late day showers. The high temps in the 50s. Sunday's cloudy and cooler with rain, the high in the 40s. That rain will mix with a turn to snow over the higher elevations of the Twin Tiers Sunday night.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. It is Friday, April 24th. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, talking to them in their living room still because of coronavirus. But Michael, we'll begin with you. There is a great debate raging across America over when and how states should reemerge from this COVID-19. Your state this week went public with a color sugar-coated coronavirus reopening strategy. Your thoughts on the Wolf plan here to open for business in Pennsylvania?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of the actions of a former Pennsylvania governor, Tom Ridge, who became the Secretary of Homeland Security when he instituted the color-coded terror threat after September 11th. Tom Wolf is talking about here is a phased-in reopening of things with a, you know, red, yellow, green schematic, and talking about doing slowly based on measures of cases in a particular county in a particular region. It seems still somewhat muddled even after the announcement that was made that opening will start on May 8th. Then suddenly within 24 hours, then the governor says, well, maybe May 1st for construction in the state. So it's not entirely clear how it's going to play out and what measures are going to be put into place. It really, again, depends on which region and which part of the state that you live.
Yeah, I know the north central and the western parts of the states will be the first to emerge from this coronavirus cloud. Let's head to Jason in New York State. Governor Cuomo also going public with a gradual, a regional approach to reopening. Do you think it's possible, and this may be wishful thinking, but I'll ask it anyway, that some regions of the state might get back to business by May 1st?
Well, I think the governor is responding to some pressure that local elected officials have been making, particularly in upstate New York. I think that's helping bring about a regional reopening, if you will. But I think May 1st is probably going to be premature. I don't think any place in the state will be fully open by May 1st. But May 15th is right now that pause date the governor has laid out. And I expect by May 15th, the large swaths of upstate New York will be reopened in some fashion. How much will change in the Empire State moving forward? Well, time will tell. The governor's talking about reimagining New York and some new vision for New York after this. But up to this point, I think we're going to see some reopening by May 15th.
All right. We'll see. That meeting he had with the president made a lot of noise this week at the White House. These are the two most vocal voices in this whole pandemic, President Trump and Governor Cuomo. Do you think that that meeting will in any way encourage the state to move a little faster on reopening things in exchange for more federal help?
Well, I think it might. There is now dollars coming from the federal government for some of the testing that Governor Cuomo was seeking. And so he will walk out of that meeting with at least that win. He'll have some testing. But what he really wanted was money for his general fund that was not designated for anything else. And that's something he did not get. The state is facing a $15 billion or larger deficit. It's going to be at least $15 billion. And that really wasn't handled in the budget process this year. We had a large deficit. And so the governor is looking for a bailout for our state that does not appear to be coming.
Yeah, no blue state bailout, says Mitch McConnell. We'll see if the state actually has to file for bankruptcy, but we'll come back to that later. Michael, let's head back to Harrisburg. There was a webinar back on Tuesday that your organization held with faith leaders who are really concerned about the erosion of religious freedom in the midst of this pandemic. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Oh, went great. We had hundreds of pastors and on our Zoom call that also went on to Facebook Live. And we hosted Kelly Shackelford, who leads the First Liberty Institute, one of the nation's leading religious liberty law firms that fights for religious liberty and has been involved in some of the notable cases that have come in since the COVID pandemic has spread across the country, the case in Louisville, cases in Mississippi and others, where local officials or governors are pressing in and going where they should not go based on First Amendment things. And so we were able to help these pastors understand sort of what are the guidelines? How do we love our neighbors but also protect religious liberty? And Kelly did a great job in sort of talking about that balance. And he also talked about, as we were on the call there, he mentioned that there were going to be actions from First Liberty related to some churches in New York State.
The number's astronomical in New York, what the governor says it is going to take to keep from going under. We mentioned earlier that Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has already said no to a blue state bailout. The governor quick to criticize him, thinking that he's playing politics here. But is there an upside? You hate to think of this, but is there an upside to New York State, New Jersey, Connecticut, several of these states hit hard by the pandemic, actually declaring bankruptcy, Jason?
Well, the upside might be that we right-size our state. The policies of this state have gotten so out of hand
the deficits that we are experiencing are not because of COVID-19 or coronavirus. It is a failure to plan, and because of, again, the big government policies that are not reining in the spending in this state. We are not prepared for what is coming.
Yeah.
And so this is an opportunity for New York State to get itself in line and to get its fiscal house in order.
Michael, this week the Senate passed a bill that would expand the use of telemedicine in Pennsylvania. It seems like a sensible move in midst of this pandemic, but still, Governor Wolf is promising a veto. Why would he do that?
Because he is beholden to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood doesn't like this legislation because it includes language that prevents them from using telemedicine to provide chemical abortions for women in their homes. That's a dangerous practice. Obviously, it results in the death of an unborn child, but also can be harmful to the women who would use it. The FDA recommends against it. This legislation would expand telemedicine in Pennsylvania, but had restrictions and said we have to follow FDA guidelines. Planned Parenthood doesn't like that, and Governor Wolf does what Planned Parenthood says consistently when pro-life legislation comes to his desk.
We've talked a lot about Governor Cuomo, and there's more. A controversial comment that he made, taking a lot of heat for, some would say, getting flip with a reporter on a question about protesters who fear that this shutdown will ultimately cost them their livelihood. The governor seemed to suggest if you want a job, you can get a job. Listen to this, Jason, from Governor Cuomo back on Wednesday.
No, there are people hiring. You can get a job as an essential worker. So now you can go to work and you can be an essential worker and you're not going to kill anyone.
So a lot of folks say at best that was insensitive, at worst maybe tone deaf to what's going on here. Why would he say something like that? How much trouble will he get in because of it?
Well, it's getting a lot of play on the social media circles right now. And, you know, I think the governor, who's generally very disciplined and on point, has had occasion where he gets off message. And this was one of those times where a very good New York Post reporter was just pushing him on that issue. The emotion, I think, of this situation is getting to him. The strain is getting to him. We mentioned the $15 billion deficit. He has no idea how to close that. So the governor, I think, is beginning to show some signs of cracking. And that's what I think you see in the messaging that's coming out.
Yeah, and a lot of essential workers will say, hey, they're cutting our jobs as well, so there may not be jobs in that field either. And then finally, Michael, the state human services secretary, Teresa Miller, warned this week that while stay-at-home orders are good and help keep people healthy, in some respects, they're dangerous, that children are maybe susceptible to more child abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse in the home. Do you share those concerns with Teresa Miller?
Yeah, we absolutely do. I mean, as Jason said, the pressure on Governor Cuomo causing him to come close to cracking is also a pressure that many families are facing just being locked in, many facing very severe economic circumstances, mm-hmm. and exacerbating the situation of potential of abuse, whether it's spousal abuse or child abuse. And I'm looking here at a Google page, just Googling that question, stay-at-home Pennsylvania domestic abuse, and there's story after story of county after county where officials are saying they're seeing rising abuse in these situations. It's part of the cost of these stay-at-home orders, and one of the reasons I think people are starting to say, when is it going to open up?
Yeah, and you see the substance abuse problems now. A number of counties are reporting a major surge in drug addiction, overdoses, suicide. So we were not meant to live like this, that is for sure. But if you want to learn more about the great work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, where can they find you, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on the issues in Pennsylvania as well. Michael, what's your website, sir?
PAFamily.org.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Capital Connection comes your way Fridays during the Noon Report or online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The area of low pressure bringing rain to much of the region today will be departing, and higher pressure will build in to clear the skies and bring us a pretty pleasant day tomorrow for much of the area. However, low pressure will return the rain clouds to western Pennsylvania by the end of the day and to the rest of our region on Sunday. Our forecast for this afternoon, any rain across central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania coming to an end. But it stays cloudy most of the day, but with breaks of sunshine developing western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. High temperatures 40s and low 50s. Tonight becoming partly cloudy. Fog will form for some, especially where it has rained today, by low temps, 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, plenty of sunshine in central New York. Otherwise, for tomorrow, partly sunny western New York and eastern Pennsylvania. And in western Pennsylvania, sun, then clouds, and late-day showers. The high temps in the 50s. Sunday's cloudy and cooler with rain, the high in the 40s. That rain will mix with a return to snow over the higher elevations of the Twin Tiers Sunday night.
All right, it's the snow that just won't let go. Thank you very much, Kevin. Finally, at noon for a Friday, traffic jams in France after McDonald's reopened some of its drive-thrus there. The fast food chain closed nearly 1,500 restaurants throughout France weeks ago due to COVID-19. Now about 70 are back open, the drive-thrus at least. A video posted on Twitter today shows long lines of cars at McDonald's restaurants across that country. One person posting that he went to his local McDonald's south of Paris for some chicken McNuggets and went home empty-handed after finding out the wait was 3 hours long. And that's our world for a Friday. Thanks for being a part of it. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.